Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You're in a good place now. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. On today's show, I'm going to be talking about the negative and the positive, the accolade or the insult. How do we safeguard ourselves in a world where everybody has an opinion? Everyone has an opinion. Everybody has an opinion, an image, and an idea of who you are. And I like to use the word idea, because I find that more often than not, most people don't really know who you are, right? I mean, come on, let's be real. It takes a lot of work, a lot of time, a lot of asking questions, and a lot of listening to understand who someone is. And one of the things that I've realized when I'm working with my clients is I'm probably the person that knows them better than anybody else. Better than anybody else on every single angle and every single side of them. And it's interesting because everybody has an idea of who you are. They have an opinion of who you are. They have a concept of who you are. They have an image. And that's fine and well. Because I think if we go into the recesses of our brain, if we don't watch out, we have a tendency of having an image and a thought process about everybody that's in our life. And that's something that we have to probably work on to realize because, you know, if we're giving it out or we're doing it, we're probably receiving it. And the only way to kind of stop being able to fixate on that is to eliminate our made-up images of other people. You know, but I find it interesting because I find that a lot of folks worry. We worry about how people think about us. You know, what do other people think? We think about other people's opinions. You know, sometimes I've been told by other folks that they say, you know, sometimes, you know, the what people think about me keeps me up at night. You know, what is it that they think about me? What's their opinion? And it's interesting, too. It's like, do these things make us happy? Do these things stress us out? I also find that we have a tendency of people-pleasing, right? So there's a lot of us out there that want to people-please. We want to help others. And I mean, helping others is great in the concept of just overall helping others. But when we get into the concept of people-pleasing in order to keep people around, that's where we fall short. Because what happens? We can only keep people happy so long, right? So we might find ourselves filled with resentment and anger because we're doing all these things for someone else and it just seems to be falling on deaf ears. And I know some of you out there like, you know, hey, you're like speaking to me, and I get it because, you know, when we have a tendency of doing that, that goes back to our attachment style. That goes back to our fundamental way of coming into this world, the family dynamic that we lived in, some of us for 18 plus years. And, you know, it's something that we went through because that's how we got help. That's how we got attention. That's how we got motherly or fatherly help, what have you. And so that can be carried over into our day-to-day life. And it normally is, because until we actually look at it, we just go on autopilot. And it carries over into our other relationships throughout our entire life until we get a hold on it. And what I've realized is there are some things that can actually be very beneficial, and there's some things that can be very controlling about compliments in general. And on today's show, I want to talk about the positive and negative feedback. Because no matter what you do in life, no matter what your career, no matter where you are, on a daily basis, you probably receive some sort of compliment or some sort of negative feedback. Sometimes the negative feedback could be a backhanded comment. Sometimes it could be direct. Sometimes a compliment can be very amazing and feel great, and you know, and sometimes a compliment can be made in a manipulative way. And so the thing is that do we want to sit there and dissect each and every compliment and dissect each and every negative response? Or do we want to basically arm ourselves in a positive way with a way of deciphering, but also a way of having neutrality? And the reason why I wanted to do today's show is that, you know, with all social media, you see a lot of folks on social media nowadays. And I'm sure if you're listening to the show, whether on USA Radio Networks, or you're watching the show live on the Facebook or the YouTube or, you know, the, or the Twitter feed, you probably have put up some pictures or what have you, or some comments on your feed about things that's happening in your life, your family, career, maybe whatever. And you've been showered with either some compliments and maybe peppered with some negative comments. You know, whether you had something that happened at work, you know, and you have folks at work that maybe compliment you or not. Or maybe there's something in your career that you're working on. You know, a good example I have is the artist that creates the art, right? The artist. And an artist can be, well, you know, an artist has a large, broad definition. But when an artist creates work, they put their work out there. They put their work out there, and guess what? They get responses. Those responses can be positive, negative, or somewhere in the middle. And I found that when we take certain responses very seriously, it can impact us almost in an extremely negative way, even if the comment was positive. Because what I found is that when we take compliments, we have to be careful of how we take that compliment, how we allow that to merge into our life, and the power that we give the compliment. And the reason for that is that we still have the yin-yang. We have the juxtaposition of the negative feedback. Because remember, if we take the compliment always and take it in all the time, what happens when we have negative feedback? We're going to take that in all the time because it's hard to decipher. I take in all positive, I take in no negative. Now, what about constructive feedback? And where does constructive feedback lie? And that's hard to figure out because sometimes constructive feedback can be a triggering response. Sometimes constructive feedback can trigger us to feel a certain way, even if it's constructive. Sometimes when we're triggered, it can be a negative feedback, and we're just, you know, our subconscious is acknowledging the fact that this is not something that we appreciate. But I found that all in all, depending on feedback, the way that we take feedback directly relates on how solid we are. And I know that many of you out there are like me, and I've been working to rehabilitate myself. But in the past, you know, when somebody would make a comment or, you know, and go through that process, you would sit there and judge yourself against that, ask yourself the questions, is this what's going on? You know, start questioning your reality. And all that moment that you have questioning your reality, you lose sight of what you need to be focusing on. And that interests me. Because I like to dissect things and really learn about things. Now, not animals, just the concept of psychology, philosophy, the human psyche, and understanding why we do what we do. So if you think about it, a compliment can be good, bad, and indifferent, right? Because first off, a compliment that's not aimed at manipulating you to get somebody to do what they want you to do. Now remember, there's compliments that are actually genuine compliments. There are affirmations that are genuine affirmations based on the honesty from that person. Then on the flip side, there's a manipulation tactic. That person could be manipulating you to get something that they want by, well, blowing smoke up your butt, right? Based on whatever they're wanting to do to try to get something out of you. But let's go back to the first one, and let's take the manipulation out of it for right now. So somebody is giving you a compliment, and it's nice, and that's amazing. That's great because it can inspire us, right? It can inspire us to continue to go where we've been going. It can inspire us to keep working on what we're working on. It can be the inspiration when you're having a tough day or having a tough time to say, you know what, I might be feeling this way, but guess what? I feel good because, you know, I've impacted one person or I've impacted this or this happened today. I'm going to continue to work at this level because sometimes some of us have careers and jobs and things that we're working on and stuff that people don't even see that takes so much time, so much effort, so much mental and emotional energy. And it's nice to get feedback that's positive. And so it's like in that formation, it can be inspiring. It can keep us on target. It can keep us above water. It can also, you know, give us that oomph that we need to go that next level. Somebody actually saw that you're doing what you're doing. They actually saw the impact you had. And I find that to be powerful when it comes to that. And I can't say it enough, but I feel like a lot of times people don't compliment other people in that way. And I think it gets into the comparison. I think it gets into the competitive nature. I think it gets into all those different things that we start playing games in our head, right? When we just, you know, we see somebody doing something great, we should just step back and say, hey, man, I'm impressed by you. Great job. Or, hey, good work on what you're doing. Or I'm really, you know, and sometimes you don't see that. I think it's interesting. The other day I was on Facebook for a few moments. I don't get on there very often. I love Facebook. I just don't have the time to really get on there and really look at everybody's stuff. But I saw a couple of people had some things going on, and one person you could vote on for a contest they had, and someone else was doing something else. And I didn't have a lot of time, but I took the time to go on there, click on it, vote for them. You know, because I'm like, you know, hey, I know that they would do the same thing for me. And if they don't, it doesn't matter. I did the right thing. You know, it's like a push it forward. We gotta keep pushing it forward. And even if somebody might not do the same thing for you, doesn't matter. Because it's not about complete reciprocity. Yeah, you would love to have it where you give, they give, you give, they give, the same people you give to. But that's usually not the way it goes, right? Sometimes you give and sometimes they don't give. Sometimes they take and you give. But the universe works out in a certain way usually that if we're not keeping score, things seem to come about. Now, on the other side of the compliment, if we take it to inspire ourselves, that's awesome. That's key. That's the hierarchy of why we get a compliment, is to inspire, to move forward, to be the best we can be, to be better than we were yesterday. However, the opposite of that would be to inflate the ego. And why I say that is a lot of times we don't realize that the ego is right below the surface, right? And so when somebody tells us a compliment or gives us a compliment, we have a tendency of attaching to that. Now, that can help us and that can hurt us, right? So that can help us in our belief system if we are having low self-esteem or feeling overwhelmed or questioning our validity. It can really help us. But at the same time, we can become attached to that compliment from that person and needing that outside reassurance to continue on. And that's where we come to a deficit. That's where we have a situation where we've lassoed ourselves up to a situation that we can't control. You can't control other people giving you compliments. You can't control other people liking what you're doing. Because the same person that compliments you today could find fault in you tomorrow. And I want you to think about that. And I know that a lot of folks who are, you know, in the music industry and in the film industry, I'm sure that they would sit there and talk about this situation. And I might need to do a podcast on this because I feel like when you go out through that process, they see it on a daily basis. Think about how many people are making comments on the song they just wrote, how great it is, how beautiful it is, how horrible it is. What was wrong with them? Were they smoking something? You know, oh my gosh, they must have gained 20 pounds over COVID or 50. You know, all these different things that come up. You know, and then they get the angelic voice. It's like I'm listening to heaven's gates, you know. I mean, come on. There's extremes on both sides, right? You have to be very careful. You have to sit there and propel forward, but at the same time, we can't get too attached to certain comments because, one, it can change, and, two, it can keep us literally dead in our tracks from movement because we might be overwhelmed by some sort of negative comment as well. So as today's show goes along, I'm going to be helping you look at positive feedback versus negative feedback versus constructive feedback. How to really analyze it, deconstruct it, how to keep it in its place, how to help it work for you, and things that you can let go of. Later on in the hour, Dan Nelson will be here with his historical perspective. But, you know, it's very interesting because as we go down this process of life, we begin to learn a lot about ourselves. This can help us. This gives us the information we need, and I'm here to help you so that we take the ego out of it, we don't let people run our lives, and we use things accordingly to the best of our ability to keep joy and peace in our life. So stay tuned. Live Your True Life Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. I'll be back this time in 2 shakes.
You've heard me talking about MyPillow for 3 years. Folks, it's the truth. I get the best sleep of my life with a MyPillow. You can do it too. 60-day money-back guarantee, 10-year warranty, made in the USA. You'll sleep well or you'll get your money back. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Special, use my promo code USA, get 2 MyPillow premium pillows for the price of one, or call 1-800-951-8175. Get the best sleep of your life and do it now.
Money, money, money. Money. You gotta have it. When you need it, what do? If you don't have a rich uncle, call LendingTree. With us, hundreds of banks compete for your business. So you'll get loans with competitive interest rates. And in some cases, with no closing costs. So here's the deal. If you need money, call us. Do you want to refinance your current loan? Are you 62 or older and interested in a reverse mortgage? Then call LendingTree now. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. We've closed over $250 billion in loans. We know what we're doing and can help you. Call right now for a free quote. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. That's 800-634-1315. NMLS number 1136.
You've heard me talking about MyPillow for 3 years, folks. It's the truth. I get the best sleep of my life with a MyPillow. You can do it, too. 60-day money-back guarantee, 10-year warranty, made in the USA. You'll sleep well or you'll get your money back. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener special, use my promo code USA, get two MyPillow premium pillows for the price of one, or call 1-800-951-8175. Get the best sleep of your life.
Join me, George Norrie, for Contact in the Desert Worldwide Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to the 28th. Contact in the Desert will be an epic weekend of exploration into UFOs, ancient alien civilizations, consciousness, AI, crop circles, and cutting-edge science. More than 130 presentations, 67 speakers, and 2 extra weeks to view our extraordinary lineup. Get your tickets today at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact. Contactinthedesert.com.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance.
As life in America looks to return to normal, how can you succeed in the new stock market? With the tech dip, volatility with interest rates, and fear around the yield curve, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Text the word money to 813-813 to find out how our technology can forecast market trends up to 3 days in advance with incredible accuracy. Text money to 813-813 to find explosive moves before they happen. Vantage Point's patented artificial intelligence can give you a massive edge. Text the word money to 813-813. Start predicting trends 72 hours in advance and maximize your gains. Text money to 813-813. Experience Vantage Point for free. Learn how successful traders generate their wealth. Don't wait. Text the word money to 813-813.
Go to VantagePointSoftware.com for terms, conditions, and privacy policy.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Get in here. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live. Welcome back live. Looks like we have some echo issues here. I'm not sure why we're having some echo here, but welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Anyway, what we're talking about today is the concept of the positive feedback and the negative feedback and how to understand and how to extrapolate that and be able to conquer that in a positive way. Because what happens here is that when we have positive feedback, which can be so powerful and so helpful and so inspiring, on the same account, what happens is that if we attach to that and hold that, I mean, it's fine to give power to that to some degree, but I find that sometimes if we give too much power to the compliment, we have a tendency of giving what? Too much power to the negative side. So when somebody tells us something negative or somebody gives us negative feedback, how do we deal with that? How do we appropriate that? How do we dissect that to understand? And how do we begin to let it go? And I'm totally for positive feedback as far as, you know, someone, you know, offering you some feedback or some constructive criticism. But at the same point in time, it has to be done properly, right? And for many of you out there, I'm sure that you have experienced some negative feedback. And it's hard because if you're giving a lot of value to the positive feedback, it's hard to completely let this, well, you know how people say, oh, he doesn't care about anything. He lets it flow, you know, he lets it run right off his back. He doesn't care. And it's like, how do you do that? How do you make that happen? And I've realized that you have to have some sort of neutrality. And we have to realize what happens when we have a positive or negative feedback. How does that impact us? We have to actually look psychologically at how does it impact us and what triggers us to feel a certain way. Because something can be inspiring, but something else can be told to us that can really take us off target, create this underwhelmed feeling of overwhelmed, right? And then we end up finding ourselves kind of in the conundrum where we're questioning our reality. Now, why is that? Why is that? Why do we question that reality? And it's because we have this thing that we call ego, right? And a lot of us don't realize that our ego, well, until we control it, it kind of is, it's not always there for the positive things. It actually can be there for the negative things. So it's almost like when we're dealing with the brain and we're dealing with the thinking mind, right? The brain is always trying to solve a problem. The brain is always trying to solve an issue. So if we stay in the thinking mind all the time, we're constantly in problem solving mode, right? Which doesn't allow for peace, right? And so if somebody says something positive, that's great. We take it in. The ego takes it in. It builds up our ego. We feel a certain way about ourselves. And then we start feeling a certain way about the person that gave us the compliment. But there's a lot of different issues that lie there, right? One, we begin to have our value outside of ourselves. And it's nice to be inspired by somebody to keep us on target, but it needs to build upon our value. It needs to build upon the value that we've created with inside of ourselves, not an outside value argumentation. So the concept is that a lot of times we can take in these compliments, but we start valuing ourselves by the compliments. Like many of folks have figured this out on social media. The likes. People started valuing themselves by the likes. By how many likes they get, by how many thumbs up they get, by how many hearts, by how many emojis, by how many comments, right? And that's an outside perception of we're getting a compliment and we're allowing that to what? We're allowing that to feed into ourselves and we look toward our affirmations, our acceptance outside of ourselves. And this is what I'm getting at in today's show. I'm just going to try to help you to say, okay, you know what? I see that I've been looking for acceptance outside of myself. Now it's time to reel it in. Why would you want to give so much power to someone outside of you to build you up or tear you down? And it's nice when people build you up, but we have to be careful how we deal with that type of energy so that we can use a proper energy to deal with the negative. Right. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. Later on, Dan Nelson in studio, I'm going to be able to really kind of show you about the ego, understand the concept of letting go, and how we can create neutrality. Stay tuned. Live your true life perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. I'll be back this time. Two shakes.
I hope you've enjoyed my history and lore tales here on Ashley's True Life Show. I know that there are many more amazing stories in your own family that we can discover in your tree. Hi, I'm Dan from Dancestors Genealogy. We take the hard part of discovering your family's past away from you by doing all of the research. You and your family end up with a beautifully bound heirloom book to view and enjoy. As a longtime genealogist, my staff and I know precisely where to look. We know what to look for and preserve your story. So consultations with me are always free. Create your family heirloom book for Mother's Day, Father's Day, or next Christmas by talking with me, Dan, at Dancestors Genealogy. So please reach out today by going to our website, www.dancestorsgenealogy.com. That's DancestorsGenealogy.com and fill out a contact request and we'll get right back to you.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Democrats and Republicans are still trying to negotiate a deal on infrastructure. The newest proposal is $1 trillion. Democrats want to increase taxes on wealthier individuals. Republicans want to use unspent COVID relief funds.
President Biden said he'd like to see bipartisan action on infrastructure, but next week, Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer will start exploring reconciliation, which would allow Democrats to only need more than 50% to pass the bill. The Faith and Freedom Coalition is wrapping up their conference. On Friday, former Vice President Mike Pence blasted President Biden.
In just 148 days, the Biden-Harris administration has unleashed a tidal wave of left-wing policies that threaten to wipe out all the progress that we made.
Most people cheered, but a few people booed him and chanted he was a traitor. This is USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's N-U-T-R-I Medical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
What if people always acted the same way they do when they're driving their cars?
Good morning, Mrs. Blanchard. How may I help you?
I'd like to cash this check.
Sure.
I'll just get my pen.
Come
here.
On, lady. Get a move on. Goodness. Where'd you learn to bank anyway?
Ooh.
Whoa. Don't you give me that look.
It sure wouldn't be a very friendly place.
What kind of candy do you want, sweetie?
This. No, this.
Pick something already. Come on, honey. We're holding people up. How about this kind?
No.
What is the matter with you people? If you're not going to do something, I am. Get out of my way.
Every day, drivers and their families all across the country are killed on the roadways because of road rage.
Wasn't it a beautiful wedding?
Oh, yes, Mimi. Such a lovely couple.
Excuse me, is this the receiving line?
Yes, it is.
Hey, he cut in line.
I'm a friend of the bride. Do you know the
group? Hey, now, you cut in line.
Buzz off.
Oh, yeah?
He hit that nice man.
That'll teach you to cut in line, you jerk.
Stop the senselessness of road rage. It's time we all drive with the same courtesy we extend to people in the rest of our lives. A message from the AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives. Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. We've been talking today about the good, the bad, and the ugly when it comes to compliments and negative feedback. And, you know, a lot of times people are like, wow, I mean, how could a compliment be negative? But it's not negative. It's just how we take it. How do we deal with it? How do we accept it? How do we live by it? How do we allow it to inspire us? Or how do we allow it to hold us back? And all these things are very important because we have to think about it. We have to get to the point where we actually see things the way that they need to be seen. And how do they inspire us? You know, before the break, I was talking about inspiration and how we can be inspired by some of these things. But at the same time, it can hold us back. And so if we look at the negative impact and we realize what a negative thought could bring, or a negative comment could bring, how does that impact us? So many of you are saying, yeah, Ashley, you know what? I've been through the process where I've had negative comments made to me, and it became something that was really painful. Because you ended up, like, thinking about it, it ended up taking over your mind share, you felt bad about it, it made you feel bad. So it's like, that you need to let go of. And what I've realized is that everybody has an opinion, and we have to be careful about what triggers us. Some of us were raised in environments where people were very negative, very judgmental. Also, the insecurities that we might have, the insecurities of who we are and what we're doing, and how we feel maybe negative about ourselves, or we feel lesser than. And these are things that we need to catch, because when we catch these things, we can become super aware. When we catch these things, we can become super aware of what we're doing. We can become super aware of who we are. We can become super aware of what we need to do to make changes in our life. And I found that. And I found that it's so powerful when we get to that point, because we see it and we allow it to be. Because remember, we can't, nobody is ever going to make everybody happy. Nobody's ever going to be liked by everybody. Nobody's ever going to have, you know, everything that other people want. And the thing is, we have to be okay with that. You have to be okay with the fact that, you know what, this is the way life is. And if you're liked by everybody, it's probably a problem. It actually is a problem, because what does that mean? That means that you're probably not being true to yourself. And it's not like you're going out attacking people. You're just making comments about your point of view, how you feel about life, who you are, the person you are, all those things that make you up as an individual. And that's what I think is powerful. And so the next time that you receive a negative comment, instead of ingesting it and making yourself feel bad about it, I want you to sit there and say, why is this impacting me? Why is it impacting me? Okay, why is it triggering me? Because if it is triggering you, there's a reason. If it is triggering you, it's because you feel something. There's something that's connecting with that comment that's resonating at some sort of way. Do you see what I'm saying? So if you thought something was totally not at all any sort of truth, and you believe that there was no truth and there was no connection whatsoever, you would not accept the negative comment. You would just be like, whatever. But there's something within that that spikes up in the subconscious, okay? Something that makes you... And so sometimes the negative comments, if we do take them personally, is really actually an opportunity to actually see our trigger points. It's actually an opportunity to be able to see what we're still needing to work on. I've also realized that, too, a compliment is also an opportunity to see what we need to work on. Because if we get a compliment and we literally, one, cannot take it. Okay, so some of you out there, you know, you've gotten a compliment recently and you couldn't take the compliment. Like, you tried to, like, pat down the compliment. Like, you know, I don't know if you've ever had that where somebody compliments maybe something that you wore or maybe something you did. And they're complimenting you about your work and you can't accept it. Right? You have trouble accepting it. And I believe that part of that could be, you know, humility. It could be the fact that you're just, you know, you're empathic and you're not trying to take on that. But part of it could be that you haven't really even seen your value. You haven't really seen what you contribute honestly. And if you can't see what you contribute honestly, it's hard to accept it from other people telling you that. And that's something that is, like, all this stuff gives us opportunities to learn about ourselves. And some people are just going to be mean. You know what I'm saying? When people can give compliments or people can give negative comments without seeing you and writing it down and you never know who it is, people can say whatever they want to say. And sometimes it can be quite cruel. But what I'm saying is that in the process, it's like, okay, if something does connect with you, good, bad, or indifferent, what is the impact? Why does it connect? This gives me information into my being, who I am, how I feel, things that I've held on to that I might need to let go of, obviously, things that I guideposts and opportunities to learn more about how I'm actually truly feeling about myself instead of some of the BS I might have been telling myself. You know, and I think that's interesting, is that sometimes some of the harshest things can be some critical eye-opening points of view. Also, you begin to realize how much you've worked on being able to deconstruct your thoughts when people can say really, really negative things and it really does not bother you. Because remember, when something doesn't apply anymore, it just doesn't apply. When you're having an argument with a friend, family member, or spouse, right? And if they try to trigger you, if they trigger you into arguing with them, something has connected to you. Something has brought you into that argument that you can't let go of. Now, on the other end, if you've dealt with whatever it is, or you don't accept their narrative of what they're saying, and you don't see how that connects with you at all, the idea of you being triggered is probably not going to happen, because you don't have to do it, because it doesn't make any sense. Because it doesn't hold water. It's like, I mean, when somebody's talking, you know, asinine comments, you don't have to sit there and jump in and argue about it, because it doesn't hold water. But the opposite does. When somebody is arguing or says something negative about you or something about you that upsets you, that's the trigger response. That's it. So they've gotten a nerve, like when people say they pushed your buttons, right? That's where the trigger is. Oh, they pushed my buttons. They pushed my button. That's a trigger. And so when that happens, there's something underlying there that needs to be figured out. And the only reason that I'm bringing up this show today and this concept is that in order to really, first off, got to look at our triggers, we first off have to look at where we feel lesser than, or we feel qualified, or we feel non-qualified, and understand those types of things to understand how when somebody gives us a positive comment or says something negative, how that impacts us. But then also, at the same time, we can accept and relish certain things and allow that to propel us forward, like somebody that genuinely really cares about what you're doing, you know, genuinely sees the impact of what you're doing. Let's say, like, you're running an organization helping homeless dogs, and they really saw, man, you've been doing some amazing work. You're really giving back to society. That's a good feeling, because sometimes you can feel like you're not being, that people don't see your value, because you've been working so hard, and you feel like nobody sees what you're given. And so that's powerful, but we have to, like, sit with that for a moment and then move past that, allowing that to propel us, but allowing that to build up even more of our self-esteem internally, so we're not looking for that outside source. Is it nice to have it? Yes. Is it beautiful for somebody to say that? Yes. But you don't have to have it. You don't need it at all costs. And the same thing with the negative is, as you start letting that go and you start seeing it, you realize, okay, I don't have to have attachment and value attachment to all this. And if I detach myself value-wise from the other, I can also detach myself from the negative. And that's what I find is so powerful. And that's where we need to be at all times if possible. And I'm going to give you some more ways of doing that here in just a moment, so that we have a chance to really walk through that here at the end of the show. And right now, let's move over to Dan Nelson, our historical perspective. He's going to help us to understand some history that, well, we just don't know about. And Dan has actually uncovered and getting us the information for that. Dan, great to have you on the show. How are you doing?
Good. Glad to be here.
What do you have for us today? What type of historical uncovering have you done that would be hard for us to find, but something that you've found out that's interesting to us?
Sure. Yeah, this story is about a guy who's actually the nephew of a relatively famous Texan, and I wondered when I moved here, because I'm not a native, where the name came from, because you see it on schools and government buildings and so forth. There's a county called Milam County, and so this guy was Benjamin Rush Milam, and he was a big hero of the Mexican War of Independence and the Texas War of Independence, and he was actually killed while leading a charge in the siege of Bejar, which Bejar County is San Antonio. So his nephew was a guy named Benjamin K. Milam, and he was one of my clients, three times great-grandfather. And so he was as a kid on the farm, and then he went in and became an apprentice in the watchmaking business and as a jeweler under a guy named Beverly Knoll. And you think, wow, I never thought about somebody going from the farm to being a jeweler and a watchmaker. But apparently he had skills, and so he was in Frankfort, the Kentucky state capital. And he became an apprentice with a guy named Jonathan Meek, who was a jeweler. And in 1839, so that's a long time ago, they formed a partnership, Meek and Milam. And then there was another guy named Theodore Knoll, related to the Beverly Knoll I mentioned earlier, that made fishing reels. And so you never think about, oh, well, who makes fishing reels? Well, of course, it would be a watchmaker. Of course, that would have been a jeweler. But that's where fishing reels started, because it was working with fine instruments. You always hear about, oh, you know, fine-tuning a Swiss watch. Same idea with a fishing reel. In terms of the small gears and so forth you're working with. So they had this firm, and they're working on fishing reels and stuff. Then the Mexican War comes along, and he gets pulled out there to work, you know, to fight in the battle. And there were many casualties from his outfit, and he was actually the guy that they sent back to Mexico to bring home the bodies of the other people who were fought with him there in Mexico. So he was a well-respected citizen that, you know, he would get sent down with that responsibility. Of course, he was only able to do that because we won the Mexican War. But anyways, he gets back from the Mexican War, and he gets taken into a firm called J.F. Meek & Company, and he's the guy who's making the reels. The other guys are working on the watches and jewel, you know, designing jewelry and putting things together jewelry-wise. So this firm actually got a little bit too big for their britches, and they failed. So Milam and B.F. Meek put together a new firm that was just going to focus on reel making and some jewelry work, but get out of watchmaking. So they did that for years, and basically there was watchmaking on one floor, jewelry making on another, and then the fishing reel was sort of organized above that second floor. And then they actually organized the business so that if something happened, you know, they come time they split up, Milam gets the fishing reel, and Meek gets the jewelry and watchmaking business. So, in fact, that did happen 27 years later. They did separate the business. And so fishing reels that said Meek and Milam are super big collectibles or anything before that time, everything from that point forward had the B.C. Milam name on it for Benjamin K. Jewels in the spool bearing. So, again, connecting back to why was a jeweler involved in a fishing reel. And these were very famous fishing reels. They were referred to as Kentucky fishing reels, Frankfort, Kentucky fishing reels. And they were so famous and so sought after, three presidents of the United States had these fishing reels: Grover Cleveland, William McKinley, and Theodore Roosevelt. So, and of course, they couldn't just go on Amazon and get those, so they had to you know, say, hey, I want to get one of those reels and send somebody out there to pick one up or have them mailed to him or whatever. And then there was a bunch of stuff that went on where other people started to copy his, but they weren't near as good, and they'd call him the Frankfort Kentucky reel and the, you know, Kentucky reel and so forth. And so he had to go to court and say, look, I'm the guy who's been making these reels since way back when. And the courts agreed with him and said all these people have to stop calling him Kentucky reels, Frankfort Kentucky reels, and those all belong to Milam. And so then he was, from 1848 until the 1890s, working under that name, and then continued to develop the fishing reel and make it better and better and better. And then he brought his son John into the business, and John kept the business going for a long time, kept it real healthy. And these reels continued to be more desired. And they were made, these B.C. Milam and Son, because they added the and Son to the reels, were made until 1928. So really a long history, almost, well, basically 100 years that these reels were made that either had the Milam name on them or Milam and something else. So quite a history to it. He was also a relatively respected banker in the Louisville, Kentucky area, and so forth. So anyways, a long history of his involvement. What's interesting, I always find with DNA, is that his, you know, great-great-great-great-great-grandson loves to fish also, but he doesn't have a B.C. Milam reel.
So he didn't get one, huh?
No, he just got the DNA.
Well, you know, sometimes we win. I don't know, the DNA sounds pretty good, and sometimes we don't. I love that story. Thank you for sharing that with us, Dan. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, now you know. The next time you see a fishing reel, go, watchmaker probably designed that.
Yeah, I mean, something I would have never thought of. Never thought of. Dan will be back next week, and in the meantime, when we return, we'll be talking back about compliments, negative concepts, how to understand it, how to decipher it, but how to keep neutrality, because neutrality is what we're trying to keep. Neutrality is where we're trying to go, and neutrality is where we need to be at, so that we don't actually judge ourselves for the compliment or the negative thought, but we actually use it to propel us. Stay tuned. Live Your True Life Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. I'll be back this time in two shakes.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing, we've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNloans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNloans.com. That's GCNloans.com.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. We just heard Dan Nelson on his historic perspective, and now I want to give some concepts on how we get to neutrality. We were talking about compliments and negative thoughts, negative comments from other people. So how do we get neutral with some of this stuff? How do we keep neutral? How do we accept some of the good, process it, let it work to help us, to engage us, to infuse us with you know, a feeling of goodness, and then how do we let the other go? Because I realize when we look at impact and we look at how it impacts us, right, we have to really think about the impact. And we have to realize when we take a compliment in, we can take it in, it can help us, it can inspire us, but we want to make sure that we don't also take in or create even more of an ego state. We also want to make sure that we're allowing that to build within us instead of looking outside of us for more and more acceptance. Because that's it's a slippery slope. The more we do that, the more that we look outside for acceptance, and the more that we come up short. I've realized that if we're needing compliments and we're needing people to feel that way, it's when we don't ever get anything. Isn't that interesting how when you're needing somebody to, you know, it's just a lifeline, just throw me a lifeline, you're not going to get it. And when we go within ourselves, it's so powerful. And so when the next time you have a negative comment that's made to you, that's overwhelming to you, I want you to catch it and say, and just process it first. I don't want you to take it in as face value. I don't want you to take it in as the gospel truth. I don't want you to get angry and fight. I just want you to see, okay, what is that? Okay, where is that coming from? I've realized that a lot of times, too, when somebody speaks negative, there's a tendency of that negative being in their narrative. The negative is in their narrative. That's in their own mind. That's in their own thoughts. I mean, when was the last time that you knew someone that was very angry with themselves, overwhelmed with their issues, completely overwhelmed, completely angry, completely depressed about things? When was the last time you heard somebody be able to say something positive to somebody in that state of mind? It's almost it's almost incapable of doing that. And so a lot of times when we hold on to something, we're holding on to something that doesn't belong to us. And, you know, it's interesting because I think that the scales between women and men, I think that women sometimes have a tendency of showing it more than men because men can create more of a wall around this, but I think that it still hurts. I think that we can create walls or we can show that it doesn't hurt us, but I think it still gets to us because we're all human. And so, you know, realizing that everybody has an opinion and working to form your thought process about who you are, the more solid we know who we are. So, you know, one of the things that I work with clients is to really understand who they are and define who they are as if they were playing a role in a major motion picture and I have Brad Pitt playing their role or whoever else, female version. And understanding that and understanding who they are and what they're doing and what they stand for. Because once we know that information, when something's told to us that doesn't apply, we can understand completely. When something is told to us that does apply, we can accept it for face value as it is. When something doesn't feel right or it feels manipulative or it feels angry, we can see it for what it is, coming a mile away. All these things are very helpful because it helps us to understand not only where other people are coming from, but it also helps us to put into perspective our value. Because certain things we can relish in, but certain things have to be let go of. But even when we relish in a compliment, we have to accept it, thank the other person, see the value intrinsically in the moment, and work to let that go. And a negative thought process, when somebody says something negative or something really, really critical, seeing where they were coming from at that moment, seeing where that is, probably where the comment came from, making sure that there's no triggers, because if there is, there's something we need to work on, and then beginning to let that go. And if we do have a trigger to that, asking ourselves, why am I triggered to be upset by that? Why is that triggering me to get angry? And working in and looking into that and dissecting that to be able to understand ourselves fully. And that's the power of this. It's not something that has no power. All these things allow us to see all sides and facets. It allows us to put light in the areas that we might not really realize. It might give light into some blind spots that we have in our own life. If you haven't already, go to AshleyBurgess.com or check out my other website, the10daychallenge.com, the number 10daychallenge.com. If you haven't already, check out the YouTube channel. Just go to Ashley Burgess, B-E-R-G-E-S. New video content up every week. And every Saturday is the show as well, so stay tuned. We have a great show for you next week. You don't want to miss it. More relationships, more topics on how to make your life easier, better, and more peace and joy filled. So stay tuned. Live Your True Life Perspectives with me, your host, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. I'll be back this time in 3 shakes.
It is interesting to see how the subjects on Ashley's True Life show and current events so often correlate with past events. As Ashley says, history often repeats itself. Our Dancestors genealogy research comes across great stories from the past that tie to families and our shared history regarding what happens in our country and our community. Dancestors clients have had ancestors that were colonizers, explorers, founders of religions, gunslingers, kings and queens, knights, pirates, heroic soldiers, witches, and witch hunters. Let's find out who the characters are in your family tree. So please reach out today by going to our website, www.dancestorsgenealogy.com. That's dancestorsgenealogy.com, and fill out a contact request, and we'll get right back to you.